we shall quieten to hear the word of God, which I will read from the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 12 to verse 14. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I think that here at the services there are others along with me those kinds of children of God who have been faced with that situation that as you have that a person who has traveled on the path of faith has left this journey, has given up his faith, and perhaps a bit surprisingly has left the kingdom of God, may have questioned, why did this happen? Why did this go in this way? What? It may be that there is here at these services a child of God along with me who sometimes has thought, will I remain in faith? Will I have the strength to endeavor till the end? I think that this text brings us to these two things. This book to the Hebrews has been written to children of God, travelers on the road to heaven, to those who endeavor in this time towards the eternal home in glory. And we are showed this by what we read in the beginning. Take heed, brethren. Those who received this letter were actually those kinds of believers that they had received the grace of repentance from unbelief. In another book, the apostle says, and says, remember those times when you were able to step on this way to heaven and you were so happy that you even carried this burden that you were ridiculed and your possessions were even taken away from you. You stood this with joy. I think, dear brothers and sisters, that these believers rejoiced of this, that they had received the forgiveness of all their sins, and they were as if living in grace feelings. I think there must be here in these services several people who have received grace of repentance from unbelief, and you have experienced this to be true. Sometimes I have discussed with such a person who had just received the grace of repentance a little before. Brothers and sisters, I was almost jealous of that situation. This person, it seemed that he could see to the destination, and that road to heaven was so clear and was so easy to travel until the heaven of glo- until the glory of heaven. But then what happens? The same thing that happens to everyone, that these grace feelings go away. And then comes a time when one has to endeavor, has to carry the cross. And this travel on the road to heaven, this kind of time, everyone experiences this, even one who has been born into a believing home. And these people in the Old Testament saw in their lives that on this road to heaven, they became tired in their faith. They became tired in the battle. And it could be seen, for example, as the apostle reminds them, and he warns them. He said, don't overlook the gathering of the people in the congregation. Some of the people no longer were interested in going to hear the word of God, they were not interested in going to services. This is what had happened. And brothers and sisters, perhaps that is why I chose this text, because somehow it seems to me that even in this time, we children of God are not protected from this. This could happen to us too. This is the reason why the apostle sent this letter. The believers had become tired in their endeavor of faith. But in spite of this, the apostle approaches them with this letter. And perhaps because of this, he says, dear brothers, and he warns them and says, as it says here in the text, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Does this question arise? What has happened? And could it be that a child of God traveling on the road to heaven has a heart which gives up living faith? Even those who a little while before had rejoiced, they did not even feel bad that their belongings were taken from them. Dear brothers and sisters, when we are endeavoring on the road to heaven, that endeavor is a battle. It is a battle against the threefold enemy. The enemy of the soul, who is against God, and our corrupt portion that is prone to sin, and all the sinful life that is in the world, and all the temptations of the world. And in this battle, the apostle warns them that be careful that lest any of you be hardened so that you give up your faith. And when we examine the Word of God, it seems that it is possible a child of God can find himself in that situation that he gives up his faith and leaves God's kingdom, as if says goodbye to it and starts to travel a different road. We remember from the Bible of Jesus' disciples, the disciple Judas Iscariot. Just think, dear brothers and sisters, what was Judas's heart like? John tells of it in his gospel. This where Mary used this costly oil when she oiled the feet of Jesus. And Judas says, couldn't we have sold this oil, gotten a good price for it, and given it to the poor and ill? This was a good thought. But the evangelist tells us that Judas did not care about those poor, but he took care of their money, and he was a thief. And the Bible tells us that Judas had a sorry end. And the Bible also tells us of Paul's workmate, Demas. A demon's heart was overcome by the love of the world. Dear brothers and sisters, dear young believers and children, is it so that at this time there is a danger that the world tempts a traveler on the way to heaven to do those things that are in the world? I have sometimes asked this question from those who know it the best. I have asked them from the youth themselves. They have told me, and they have taught me, and said that these young travelers on the road to heaven, that in the world there are things that are tempting them away from the kingdom of God. And they have said that one very strong temptation is music, the music of the world, which does not feed a child of God or does not feed anyone's undying soul. And then there is another thing. The young people once told me, and there are even the temptations of drinking alcohol or the temptations of that a person wants to live the life of the world and act like the worldly people. According to the Word of God, this is very dangerous. It is actually life-threatening. John writes in his gospel, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, that which Peter said still takes place today, because Peter said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Dear brothers and sisters, in the beginning, when I noted that this text brings us to examine the endeavor of faith, then we can see now from the Word of God that this is what we have to endeavor against, what we have to battle against with the strength of God on this road to heaven, so that we would not lose the portion of a child of God. Always when a person gives up their faith, the reason is sin, because sin is what separates us from God. And brothers and sisters, when we want to, above all, look at how can we be preserved on this road? Because we have, as I have tried to bring forth or say, we have a battle against the threefold enemy, the enemy of the soul, who is against God, the world, and our own flesh and blood. How can we then be preserved on this road and be preserved on this road of endeavor and preserve the name of a child of God, so that once when this time ends, then we can be moved there to where we are journeying, namely to our new homeland in heaven. The apostle said to those who he wrote to, exhort one another daily. If I remember correctly, in the newer edition, it is said that encourage one another. Brothers and sisters, so exhort and encourage. When we stop to think that how can we be exhorted in this kingdom of God, in this where we live today in the Father's home, brothers and sisters dear, I understand that in the matters of salvation, we can be exhorted and encouraged only by the Word of God. You remember, brothers and sisters, John the Baptist, when he was in prison. When we read the Gospels, we notice that it was not easy for John to believe there, because he, who had a little while before pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of Christ who takes away the sins of the world," in prison was thinking and doubting. And he sent his own to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who has been promised, the promised Messiah, or should we wait for another?" We remember that. What kinds of greetings John received. Jesus answered him with God's word from the book of Isaiah. He answered with the Word of God, and he as if strengthened it. And the Word of God promises, as we remember, that the gospel will be preached to the poor. Or as we heard last evening, so were those travelers on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts burst as if with flame when their hearts opened when the scriptures were explained to them. somehow I would like to say, I would like to talk about this, the motto for these services. This, what happened to Asaph, this stops a person to think. He was sure, he was sorrowful that the unbelievers have no problems, and he himself had many problems and tribulations. But when he went into the gathering of the children of God, then it was opened unto him that the end of an unbeliever and what is the end of a believer. And so for that reason, he said, my joy is to be close to God, but for me it is good to be near God. And he had a good reason when he said that, he said as if to the Heavenly Father, that you hold me by my hand and you help me with your word and bring me to my glory. And that is why it is good to be near God. The people who received this letter were in this situation where they didn't feel like going to services anymore. All of them did not want to come to listen to the Word of God. But anyway, we hear and see from these examples how the Word of God has carried these former saints on the road to heaven and has opened their sight to see that it pays to believe that through faith they will once attain that goal that they have traveled towards. That is why Paul writes to the book, to the Romans, and says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And what hope? Is it right if I think that Paul meant that our hope of heaven would be preserved, that I can think that when my end comes, then this day of resurrection will come and I will be able to be moved there where God has meant us to be, that we could be live eternally in paradise. This is what I think Paul meant when he said that this hope would be preserved through listening to the Word of God and through believing that the Word of God would enlighten unto us that it pays to endeavor on this road to heaven, and it pays to bear or carry our cross, and it pays to take care of that mystery of faith in our hearts, that faith would in God would be preserved for us and we would have a hope of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, sin is so dangerous. As I have tried to say, that it causes death. And think of this. I think it makes a person stop to think. When Paul was before the governor, Felix, he confesses that he believes that there is a resurrection for the righteous and for those who are in the wrong. And for that reason, I will do all I can that I would preserve my good conscience before God and before man. Apostle Paul did not think that he is acceptable to heaven because he endeavors to put sin away, but that his faith would be preserved. Brothers and sisters, and dear young believing children, I wanted to say especially to you, this is such a thing that if sin starts to build up in our heart and a person does not have the strength or does not want to put them away, it is a sure thing that this gift of faith will go out. This is a very big accident, because if someone doesn't receive the grace of repentance and the grace to return in this time, such a big accident happens that you can never fix it. You cannot ever fix it in eternity. When the apostle in this text that we read writes, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Or in other words, if we hold our faith steadfast unto the end. Dear brothers and sisters, this road that we are endeavoring on is such that we can't get our crown in the middle of the journey. We can only get our crown at the end. And even you young people know, why does a young person even need to be believing today? A person cannot build his salvation on this, that a youth is healthy and has no illnesses, that he will have time to do repentance later. It may happen that you do not have time to do it later. I will not explain it much, but I know that there are very terrible happenings, how a person has left suddenly from this world, left in unbelief, has been taken from in the midst of believers, but not has been able to open his mouth. Another thing is, will God give you a feeling of sin? Will he give you the grace of repentance and the gift of faith? That is why you need to be believing today, for none of us can know about tomorrow. Not one of us. Even this evening, we do not know which one of us will see the sun rise tomorrow. Our departure may happen so quickly. I somehow want to speak especially to you dear young people and to all of you travelers on the way to heaven. I want to make you stop and think that it is important that today you are believing. And when in the beginning I mentioned that could there be someone in these services, such a one like me, who has sometimes doubted that will I have the strength till the end, till the destination. It is good to travel on this road to heaven, because here we have God-given gifts with which we can get to our destination. Namely, dear brothers and sisters, those who this letter was written to, at the end of this letter, the apostle writes, "Lift your eyes unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to He who has our salvation in our life, and He who is our, who has saved us, to that which the Lord Jesus has done for us. Dear brothers and sisters, the core of the gospel, this sermon of the releasing of sins, is this strength of the gospel which carries us until we reach our destination in heaven. I shortly want to remember this Thomas, who we remember as Doubting Thomas. He had doubts. Think of him, dear brothers and sisters. He was not there on that evening of the Sabbath when Jesus appeared for the first time behind locked doors. And Thomas said, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we can assume that he also was tired on this journey of faith. He was feeling doubtful, because when the greetings were brought to him that our Lord lives, he said, I will not believe until I can see him and feel the wounds, and so forth. He said he will not believe. But a week later, when the Lord Jesus appeared again, and Jesus approached Thomas, we remember how he reacted to this. He said, when he saw his Savior and heard his voice, Thomas said, he didn't have to any reasons. He said, my Lord and my God. Dear brothers and sisters, I somehow think that we also have the possibility, as if to see our Lord and our Savior in this sermon of the gospel, in this sermon of the remission of sins that washes and cleans all our sins away. This kingdom of God is so amazing, and this forgiveness which is preached here, that when sins are forgiven here on this earth, then our righteous God is satisfied. Things are forgiven also in heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, there is no greater gift than this gift of faith. Good health is a great gift, and this gift of life is a great gift. And also a great gift is our spouse and our children, and so forth, our everyday bread. But one sure matter is this, that above all, that a person has to give up all of these. A little by little, or all at once, they lose their meaning. They are not worth anything. The only thing that matters is that a person has preserved his faith until the end, that his sins are forgiven, and that he gets such a great reward that he is able to go into the glory of heaven to be near his dear Heavenly Father. Dear brothers and sisters, in this sermon of the gospel, sermon of the remission of sins, we can as if look upon our Savior and our Redeemer as Thomas looked upon him behind those locked doors. And dear brothers and sisters, we remain victorious with the strength of God, even though our road of endeavor looks, no matter how it looks, no matter how the strength of the world feels or the strength of the enemy of the soul. But dear brothers and sisters, the strength of God is greater. Jesus said already before, when he was saying goodbye to his disciples in his farewell sermon, he said, "In the world you will be distressed, but be in good comfort, because I have won the world." And once was heard from Golgotha, our Lord and Savior, and the cry from the Heavenly Father, everything has been paid. The whole debt has been paid. Dear brothers and sisters, I somehow think and I believe, even though we have weak faith and we do not have much faith, when we keep hold of it, then once will happen, which the writer of the hymn says when he writes, "The angels and the holy ones in heaven will sing a hymn of praise." The ship will reach the shore. The storm will abate. And Zion will praise. Dear brothers and sisters, is there someone who is listening, a traveler on the way to heaven, who is or who feels how this endeavor is difficult, and you have gotten wounds of sin, the poisonous serpents have bitten you like on the wilderness journey? Dear child of God, dear young child of God, if you have received wounds in these temptations of youth, if it seems and feels and the enemy of the soul says everything has been lost, do not listen to that. Lift up your eyes as those travelers in the wilderness lifted up their eyes on that bronze serpent. Lift your eyes upon this one who was victorious over the war, the Lord Jesus. Believe your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood unto peace, freedom, and joy. It opens, it opens your sight of heaven, that in this faith, with the strength of God, we will reach our destination. So in this way, you can come to the grace altar whenever you need to. God always will help you, I am sure, even though your weak is faith. Your faith is weak. The Heavenly Father will carry you across this foreign land and will carry you unto the glory of heaven, into this eternal joy which we are traveling toward, and the reason why we have been created. I want to, at the end, shortly say to you, dear friend, who is in that situation, that you were traveling on this road to heaven, but the enemy deceived you and tempted you to come outside. I want to approach you and remember that in the house of your Father there is food. Come back. If you feel this and if you hear this call, you can believe purely from grace as a gift from heaven. You can believe your unbelief and all the sins that it has brought. You can believe it forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you can return to this road, which brings you unto eternal life. This is how we can, dear brothers and sisters, take comfort in this strength of God's grace, and we can believe ourselves sinful. We can believe all our sins forgiven at this moment in Jesus' name and blood. All your sins are forgiven. Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Dear travelers on this road to heaven, all your sins are forgiven. Jesus' name and precious blood, all sins are forgiven. May the grace, the power of grace, carry us until we obtain heaven. Think of this, brothers and sisters. Everything is forgiven in heaven. There, the Heavenly Father is waiting for us. And think, our Lord and Savior prays on our behalf and prays on behalf of us weak prayers, so that once we would reach heaven and be preserved in faith. It pays to believe, dear brothers and sisters, for because with this faith we will win eternal life. Dear brothers and sisters, can you also preach the forgiveness of sins to me? I want to, and I promise to believe. And we will remain in the care of the Word of the Heavenly Father. This Word can protect us and will give us our, and will lead us to heaven. Amen.